This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
The droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeders fume. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Toshi Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
From the outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Chott Flats, you're listening to Toshi Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host and wife, Nancy.
Hi!
On today's episode, we're chatting all about the publishing news out of Celebration. We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. And Nancy, like we've done for the last few episodes, you care to explain what's going on here?
Yes, we are catching up with all the news out of Celebration Anaheim. Today we've got Megan from Savudu and Blogful of Words to help us recap all of the publishing news, and also chat about the story group and the new canon and all of that. And also, because today we got a whole new bunch of Vanity Fair photos. It's May the 4th, so they gave us a gift at a new set photo, so we're going to be talking about that too. So thanks for coming on the show, Megan. We're glad to have you.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here.
And before we start, can you just tell everyone a little bit about yourself and what sort of things you're up to on the internets?
Sure. So I write for Savudu, which is a rather recent development. I've done about 3 or 4 posts for them. For Den of Geek, I write about Star Wars, and my other big thing is video games. So you'll see some Halo posts in there, some Destiny stuff a little ways back. With Star Wars, I'm primarily interested in the novels. Love the movies, but I was always really into the expanded universe, and my favorite thing to chat about has always been the fiction.
Yay! You're on the right podcast.
And that's why I enjoy you guys, because you're all about expanded universe.
Yay.
Too.
So I thought to ask you this question, since we're talking about books and stuff today. What's your favorite Star Wars book and or comic?
I thought very hard about this question because it's difficult.
Boy, yes, you're giving our guests existential dread here, Nancy.
I know. Because when people ask me like which Star Wars books they should read, I usually ask them, well, what era are you into? Like, what sounds interesting to you?
Yeah.
But I've decided that I have two. And the Revenge of the Sith novelization is still number one, because the writing is amazing and Matthew Stover is amazing.
Yeah.
And number two today is Darth Maul Shadowhunter, because Darth Maul was one of my favorite characters. I really liked the supporting characters. I really liked the pacing in that one. Mm-hmm. So that's today's opinion. Tomorrow may be different.
Cool. So let's go on to the stingers first.
The stingers, of course. A note from our sponsors. Toshi Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners to this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. Click the link on Toshi-Station.net for more details.
And we're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Marvel, Transformers, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on our blog to purchase awesome geek gear and keep the lights running on the podcast. And in celebration of May the 4th, Her Universe has some items on sale today, so go check that out.
Are we ordering anything tonight?
Probably, yeah. Okay. I want the May the 4th Be With You sweatshirt, even though I don't know why, because I never need them. And the Visions of Ahsoka shirt. And that goes through May the 5th. So if you're listening to this tomorrow, you can still get the sale.
So are we just going to dive in and talk about the big news today that we weren't expecting to talk about before we decided to record today?
Yes, that's silly. Why would we not?
Yeah, that's a good question. Vanity Fair teased yesterday that they had some big Star Wars stuff coming up today.
Mm-hmm.
They were not kidding.
Yes, of course it was Annie Leibovitz photos. And if you remember way back to 99, they had photos for The Phantom Menace. They had photos for Attack of the Clones. They had photos for Revenge of the Sith. And they were awesome. And when I saw that they had the cover and more pictures, I was super excited. And how many pictures did we actually get today? I think it was 5 or 6. But there's the cover photo, which is Han and Chewie and Rey and Finn in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon, which reveals some information if you believe that they are actually there together in the film and it's not just staged for a photo. Then they had pictures of characters we've already seen, Poe Dameron next to his X-Wing, and that's all I'm going to say about that. Rey on her speeder with a desert denizen in the foreground. There's a really cool picture of J.J. Abrams, Kathleen Kennedy, John Williams, and Lawrence Kasdan in what they call the Brain Trust, which was really cool to me because that John Williams was included in that group. Because, you know, he's really important in Star Wars, and I'm really glad that he was ranked up there with the writers and the director and the producer. So, yeah, but then we got more pictures of that revealed some new information. So, first off, we have Jason Solo. Kylo Ren.
Oops, that just slipped
that just
out.
It's
so Darth emo, but I mean, not that it's bad. I like him.
He's so creepy.
He is. They did a good job casting.
I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah. So, yes, in case you were unconvinced, there is a photo with Kylo Ren unmasked, and it is, in fact, Adam Driver. And he is on the snow planet. Unnamed snow planet with two snowtroopers in the background, and the caption specifies that is the base of the First Order. He's one of the leaders, so I'm assuming that's him in the front of that big gathering that we see in the teaser. So my first thought was, is this just, you know, behind the scenes purposes to reveal that, yes, he is playing the character, or do we actually get to see him in the movie without the mask? Because that would be kind of interesting.
Is there any precedence for this in the earlier Vanity Fair photos? I remember I have really fond memories of the Revenge of the Sith ones, but I'm not very familiar with the early ones. Did they stage them, or did they usually show scenes from the movie?
Well, I know they were all... because they're all done on set. So that's why I don't think that the Millennium Falcon cockpit picture, I think that's actually they're all four in there at some point in the movie. Because I don't remember them taking them away from their personal sets, I guess. But I don't remember, as far as the characters, like them taking pictures of them out of costume or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So, but I could see them saying, okay, we'll take a picture of him without the mask to show that he is, and that'll be the character reveal. But I think it would be interesting because we haven't really had that as far as, there's Sidious, who's cloaked, you know, but he has a secret identity.
And everybody knew his secret identity going into the
Yeah.
movie, so.
But as far as, like, Kylo Ren, it would be cool if he, you know, if he just wears the mask for combat purposes or, you know, when he's, you know, for public appearances. Like, I don't know.
Or keep up appearances.
Yeah, but then someone was also saying that it could be a plot point in the movie that he gets disfigured or something and has to wear a mask because, you know, that would be Star Wars-ish. or maybe he finds the mask because he's, I don't know. I don't really keep up with spoilers or rumors, as people know, but, you know, the whole Sith fanboy idea really kind of appeals to me, and I like the idea of him finding this mask somewhere and is
which
like...
Which is why his lightsaber looked like it was from freshman high school
shop.
Yeah. From one shop.
And him being like, I must use this mask now. You know.
Well, these pictures did make me think of that fanboy theory, because this at least shows that he's not alone. He has some kind of power because he's with the First Order.
Yeah.
He's not just like a dude that became a Sith fanboy. He has influence.
Yeah.
And also maybe a Sith fanboy.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he's someone who is like in control in the Empire and then like finds out all these, you know, does all this research and then kind of, you know, decides they're awesome. But I mean, it's also interesting because he's young. I mean, comparatively to other Imperial rulers we've seen, you know, and for him to be unmasked and commanding that much power leads me to wonder, like, how he gets in charge or what he, you know, where he comes from. And,
Jason Solo.
Yeah. Well, yeah, those are all the other rumors I've seen, you know, but I like speculating and doing all that based on actual official stuff, because I find it more like, you know, fanfic-ish doing that way. So that was the first one. Then we got, I'm going to move this and save it to the end because that's the best one. But there is Maz Kanata and her castle denizens. And that is Lupita Nyong'o's character. And unfortunately, she will be CGI. And they are using mocap, which I'm kind of side-eyeing about, because, you know, representation and all that. However, then I read the description of her character, and I said, okay, I will withhold judgment until I see the movie, because she's a freaking pirate with a castle, and that's awesome.
Pirate queen.
Yeah.
And a space castle.
Space pirate.
Mm-hmm.
I want a spin-off film about this.
No, anthology book.
I'm sorry, anthology.
Tales from Maz's Castle.
Yes.
Oh, good lord,
yes. We can have an anthology movie and a Tales from
That would be awesome.
I'll take it.
I mean the picture of her castle denizens is like, it's basically like Jabba's Palace 2.0. Like,
yeah.
You know Rogue Squadron in that era would totally be crashing there all the time.
Well, it depends. You don't know what side she's on. I mean, or is she neutral?
She's on the side of money, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm. The side of piracy.
Profit. Yes. I was saying this to someone on Twitter before, and I said, I would really love if it turns out she's kind of like the card analog for this era. Like, she's a pirate. She's got all this information, and people go to her for everything. And, like, that would just make me happy.
Yeah. And I can see it, too. I can see her either serving the Jabba the Hutt sort of villain character. But she's such a good actress.
Yeah.
I feel like whatever they do with her, like, they chose her for a reason. Even if they're going to bury her under CGI, which I'm not super happy about either.
Yeah.
I hope she has a significant part that really shows off how well she can act. And an informant might be a little more nuanced than a villain or like a sleazy character like Jabba.
Yeah, I can't see Lupita Nyong'o playing a sleazy character. Like, she's got too much class. Like, I feel like she would be a really good card analog, because he's like super classy, but also money.
And I will say that, yeah, I'm not too thrilled that she's a CGI mocap character, but, you know, maybe for all we know, an actress of Lupita's stratospheric levels, this might have been the only way to get her to do a Star Wars film.
Yeah. But I mean, like, she's super excited about it, so, you know, I'll push aside my annoyances. But also, okay, I like... I also like that they have a female playing this type of character, because there really aren't that many female aliens in Star Wars that have a significant part. Like, the only one I can think of from the films is Lama Sue. And, I mean, that's not super significant. And then, you know, of course, we have Ahsoka and Hera and a bunch of other characters in the cartoons. But in the films, like, all of the major alien characters are men. So it's kind of nice to have a lady alien, you know. And also, not Asajj Ventress, by the way.
So glad we can finally put that one to bed.
Yeah, but this will be a really interesting part of the film, and really looking forward to seeing what it's all about and where exactly this takes place in the film, and as far as time-wise and planet-wise. And then we got the most awesome photo of the day, which was supposed to come out tomorrow, but people at Vanity Fair don't know how photos and the internet work. So we got a photo and a article about Gwendolyn Christie's character, who is in fact the Chrome Trooper, aka Captain Phasma. And let me just say, I really wish I was taller and knew how to make armor and had a lot of money, because I would totally make this costume.
So cool.
God, yeah. I am so freaking excited for this character. Like,
this is my dark horse character for the film.
I mean, there are so few female villains in Star Wars. I mean, there's Zam Wessel from the films. I don't know if I'd really call her a villain. I mean, there's Aurra Sing too, but like, is like a significant villain. Like, this, it seems like it's going to be Kylo Ren and Captain Phasma, you know. And like, I love that they have Gwendolyn Christie playing this character. And if you look, you know, you look at her first glance, you can't really tell the gender. But if you look at it closer, you can see, yeah, it does look like a woman under the armor. But they didn't play with the armor to make it more feminine or quote-unquote sexy.
Actual functional armor? That's allowed?
Yes.
I'm so glad that it was open to speculation, that people, that you couldn't tell that it was a lady unless you looked really closely. Like, I think this costume is awesome. And also, I wish I was taller. So that
I know.
I think there are a lot of people who said that today.
I saw a lot of other people who was like, who said that, yeah, they need to make this costume. And
I'll just wear a black cape. It'll be fine.
Yeah. I'm really interested to see how many guys end up making this costume, you know? Because, I mean, there's, you know, lady stormtroopers all over the place. So there's no the reason why a bunch of guys couldn't make this costume too. So I'm just excited to see a bunch of Captain Phasmas, you know, at the next celebration.
And Captain Phasma action figures, because you can't not make action figures of a character that looks like this.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, if they don't make this action figure, we're seriously going to just storm Hasbro.
Yeah. It'd also be interesting to see if they show her without her mask as well. Because the article that went along with the photo kind of made it seem like she might not be totally bad. Or, you know, she might have switching allegiances. So, you know, I mean, that could just be something they did for effect. But it would be interesting to see, like, kind of a reveal of her, like Adam Driver. I'm not sure how I feel about the name Captain Phasma, but it might grow on me.
It's very old school. It reminds me of the names from Pacific Rim, where they're meant specifically to be colorful and weird and sound like cartoons.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just old school throwback pulpy science fiction.
I mean, all the names in Star Wars are kind of dumb, though, so I can't really.
Come on, Wedge Antilles is a pretty
Wedge Antilles
dumb
is
name.
A terrible name. And then there was also a little short video that went along with it. Wait, I forgot to mention, the article also mentioned that she is the TIE fighter pilot we see in the teaser, which made me super freaking happy, and I want a book about all about Captain Phasma. The Adventures of Captain Phasma
and the 181st?
Yes.
Yes, please. But yeah, the video was very character focused, and that made me very, very happy.
Yeah, they said, you know, the characters are the most important thing, and yeah.
I like that Daisy Ridley basically said that these are just normal people that happen to live in a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah.
And there's that one moment where John Boyega goes from, like, smiling, looking up, to looking really serious at the camera. And it's just such an abrupt switch. And maybe it's because I haven't seen him in other things. I'm always looking really close for, like, how he acts and his personality. And that moment just struck me as sort of indicative of how he can act.
I do have to say, as an aside, the new three leads, I love that they love Star Wars every bit as much as we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. John Boyega's family making him wash dishes because he wouldn't tell them what happened in the movie is my favorite thing.
And I think my biggest takeaway from the video is that it looks like Star Wars is going back to this very dirty, grimy, lived-in universe. And that makes me so, so happy. It's going back to a visual aesthetic that I've missed in Star Wars.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I'm just trying to temper my expectations, but it's really hard when they give us, like, that teaser and then these pictures. But, yeah.
We're getting closer to gender parity, or much better than it seemed from the first, from the table, the picture of the everyone around in a circle, because we've got emphasis on Rey, we've got emphasis on, if you know, Phasma is everyone's new favorite. I like that it's not perfect, but they're emphasizing the female characters a little bit more as we get into the actual who they really are.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be surprised when the eventual Making of the Force Awakens table book comes out that we find out that Captain Phasma was gender swapped after the table read.
Yeah,
I kind of wonder about that.
There was a backlash over the table read, and then shortly after, Geena Davis came into Bad Robot to talk to JJ and his whole production team about gender equality.
Mm-hmm.
That character was so swapped.
Yeah. Yep. So, any other thoughts, comments about these wonderful pictures before we move on?
I both love and hate that they're giving me the impression that they really just get it.
Yeah.
Because they're giving me that impression, we're getting to the event horizon where I'm not going to be able to keep my expectations in check anymore. We are getting really close to that.
Yeah. And I'm kind of wondering, like, what else they're going to give us and when, like, because I mean it makes sense for them to reveal this stuff now because it's May the 4th, and you know, but I'm wondering, like, will they have any, they'll probably have something at San Diego Comic-Con, they'll probably have stuff at New York Comic-Con, but then, like, what else do they have that they can reveal stuff during? And I hope they give us more, but I hope they don't glut us with stuff.
They don't pull an Age of Ultron on us.
Yeah.
I feel like the only thing I really need now is a plot synopsis, a little more than we got from Celebration. But it's definitely coming together. Like, I'm beginning to see sort of what it will be like.
I wouldn't mind seeing, like, I don't even know if I want to see the full crawl. I don't think that would be too spoilery because it's kind of like what you need to know going in. It doesn't spoil the actual plot of the movie.
I mean, the crawl for any of the films can't really be that much of a spoiler.
Yeah. And, like, we're going to get more idea of what the state of the galaxy is come September 4th when we get all of the books. And all of the toys, by the way, are coming out on September 4th and all of the merchandise. So hopefully they don't put any major spoilers in toys.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking. I kind of want to see the crawl, if we see it at all, before the movie comes out, see it after Aftermath and after The Journey to the Force Awakens. Yeah. Because those things are going to give us ideas about the state of the New Republic, the state of this First Order.
Yeah. And I kind of go back and forth of whether I want them to give me a picture of Luke beforehand or wait until the movie. Well,
what do you think is coming out tomorrow? Was the picture that was supposed to come out tomorrow the Gwendolyn Christie
picture? It was. Okay. Yeah.
So they leaked their own picture.
They did. They leaked their own picture.
It seemed like
it was really weird.
What was going on there?
Well, it was. So that was supposed to be that one, but apparently it was up on their slideshow, and then a bunch of sites, you know, took it and started running with it, and Vanity Fair was like, hey, can you take that down? And they're like, no, it's on your website. And then they ended up putting up the article with the, you know, uncaptioned picture. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So maybe they'll give us something tomorrow that they weren't going to.
Yeah, maybe.
I'd be down with that.
That's what I'm thinking.
I mean, it depends. I mean, it's like, depends on how many pictures they actually have. But yeah, I go back and forth if I want a picture of Luke, if I want a picture of Leia. Because I feel like, I feel like they're saving them, you know, specifically. I mean, we've seen Han now twice. But
I have a feeling that the plan maybe we're going to get one more teaser trailer that features Leia.
I don't know if we're going to get another teaser or just a straight out trailer. I'd imagine we probably get a trailer.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if at San Diego Comic-Con we get another teaser.
That's true.
And then after that,
we get a full trailer
and Luke's in it.
Yeah. I mean, I know I've heard so much stuff about he's not in the movie a lot, blah, 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 which is fine because I don't think he should be a major character, and you can be super important without.
And also, I've kind of fallen in love with the idea that he's an off-the-grid Jedi master quietly rebuilding the order
but
in the dark.
Yeah, but if he's not, then we'll be sad. So stop it. So yeah, it's funny because like even though they've told us so much stuff, it just raises more and more and more questions.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, even getting like what Luke's costume looks like and what Leia's costumes look like could tell us so much.
Yes. I mean, if it is Luke in the teaser with R2, which duh, you can't convince me otherwise unless you have J.J. Abrams come up to me and tell me, and then I still might not believe him, it's kind of shows a little bit of what, you know, he's not evil because he's wearing white, and that's how these things work in Star Wars.
It's true.
So what do you say we move on and get to our discussion topic that we were going to get to before we were interrupted by big breaking gigantic Star Wars news?
Yes.
All right. Catching up from the publishing panel and news out of Dragon Con on that front.
Yeah. Wait, hold on.
Hold on.
I'm just seeing a tweet that says someone said, author of the articles from Auto Vanity Fair tweeted, yeah, the Christie photo was leaked. We have something else up our sleeves.
Ooh.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Yes, the Christie photos were leaked, as I'm air quoting leaked, because I don't believe for one second they'd actually put a photo up in their gallery by mistake.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're on to you, Vanity Fair. We're on to you.
Yeah.
Okay, so the publishing news. What do we got out of this?
Well, there wasn't a lot of publishing news, but
mostly it was us ripping our hair out during the Q&As.
So, Brian and I pretty much attended most of the publishing panels. There was a few we didn't go to, like the novelization panels and stuff, but like the Delray panel, the Marvel panel, the Canon panel, and we were also at the Aaron Alston tribute. We wanted Megan to come on to help us recap everything because of her writing for Savudu and, you know, focus on the books. But I was kind of jotting down my thoughts before, and I felt like this was a very different atmosphere as far like compared to previous celebrations, that because there weren't really major announcements, and it seemed like this was all very much supporting the films and kind of, you know, I don't want to say filler because, you know, there is Dark Disciple coming up, but it just seemed like very much supporting films rather than like telling their own stories like they would have in the past. And I keep going back and forth on whether this is a good thing or not, because at the last celebration, we got a whole bunch of news. One of them was Sword of the Jedi, and that never happened. So maybe it's good we didn't get any news this time. So I don't know. Like, I always loved going to the publishing panels and like hearing what books would come out. And I know they're working on other stuff, but they can't tell us yet. So
I think this is a very temporary situation. I think that their hands are tied a little bit in terms of what they can release because we know so little about the movies. And I would love to see a standalone series of books that's not set in the original trilogy, but yeah, somewhere else. But I think right now it's sort of inevitable that everything's going to be restricted by the fact that you can't spoil The Force Awakens by revealing a book set afterward or something like that.
Yeah, I think it makes, you know, the fact that The Aftermath is the first book in a trilogy, but we've only had Aftermath revealed that takes place right after Return of the Jedi, I think it says something. Mm-hmm. That, you know, the next other books, it's not necessarily a story that takes place 1, 2, 3, but rather, you know, the next one might take place 10 years later.
I have a feeling that this might be a triptych.
Yeah.
Rather than a straight ahead trilogy.
Yeah.
I think that would make sense. Something that jumps around in time a little bit, but works as like a ladder between the original trilogy and the sequel trilogy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree. I'm sure this will change going forward because it's kind of, I can't imagine that with all of the movies and, you know, episodes and standalones, they're not going to have a bunch of books tying into this. I mean, like, I keep saying that Poe Dameron, Rogue Squadron, because you can't convince me he's not in Rogue Squadron, doesn't beg for another book series, you know. I mean, it's just, it's, you know, it made tons of money the first time around, so why not do a second X-Wing series, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think, though, that once the floodgates are opened, when The Force Awakens finally hits theaters, it's going to really untie,
yeah,
Del Rey and Marvel's hands.
I agree.
And I will say I'm really glad that the story group exists this time around because I never understood why they were publishing so many prequel era books when the prequels weren't finished yet. And then they ended up having Clone Wars series, which kind of messed a lot of stuff up. But, you know, that sort of thing isn't hopefully going to happen now going forward, which is good. Because I would be sad if they can't write any books that take place around the time of The Force Awakens.
Yeah. I'm hoping we'll get to see more things that tie together. Because as much as Legends felt like canon to us, it in a way wasn't official, quote.
Yeah.
So now I wonder whether the onus is sort of on Marvel, on Del Rey, to make sure there are more connections, and we just haven't seen them yet. And I hope that's the case, but I also know that sometimes organization is difficult. And
yeah,
sometimes you go based on what sells, and so we'll see. But I'm, as with the movie, cautiously optimistic.
Yeah. So the first panel we wanted to talk about was the One Big Story panel, also known as the canon panel or the story group panel. And this was on Friday?
I think
Thursday?
I think it was Friday.
And it was, okay, let's see if I can remember everyone's names. It was Jen Heddle, Sadie Smith, Jordan White, C.B. Cebulski, Leland Shee, And I cannot think of the moderator's name, but he works for licensing in Lucasfilm.
Wasn't Pablo also on that panel?
Yes, Pablo was also on that panel. Of course, he was on that panel. He's on all the canon panels. And this was basically them discussing how the story group works, how the story group interacts with the different vendors like DK and Del Rey and Marvel, and how they're all collaborating. Of course, there were a lot of questions about Legends and, you know, the new canon and all this stuff, which hopefully now we can move on from all of the questions. But I thought the panel did a good job of answering them. And, you know, like they said, they're never going to say never that they're not going to go back to Legends, which is smart because, you know, at one point in time, they were never going to make Episode 7. But besides the questions, I did like this panel. I did think it was, you know, good to see how all the interaction is going on. And it kind of, you know, it gave me faith that there won't be crazy continuity errors going forward, like really absurd ones.
I'm just remembering the question where someone asked, how can I get on the story group?
Yeah.
Doesn't work unless you're Alan Dean Foster.
Yeah.
And I think every blogger and podcaster in the first three rows about had an aneurysm.
Yeah. Were you at that panel, Megan?
So I'm a little embarrassed about this since you guys brought me in to talk about these specifically, but I went to like none of these. I think on Friday I was doing, I was at the Bad Batch panel. Uh-huh. Saturday I waited to see the Rebels season 2 for literally 5 hours. So,
oh my God.
I heard about a lot of these, but I didn't actually sit in on any of them.
Well, that's okay because you know the news and that's the important part.
I do.
And
I heard it was relatively, it was civil.
Yeah.
At the canon panel.
Yeah. And then there was the Marvel panel, which was very underwhelming because we knew all the news beforehand. The one announcement that they had was the Lando comic.
Except that CBR broke their street date early on that news.
Yeah, so that was actually announced Thursday morning, and the panel was on Saturday. And that'll be written by Charles Sewell and Alex Maleev. And it's basically kind of the replacement for Leia. When that miniseries is done, this is going to be the miniseries that takes over. So it'll be interesting to see if they keep going on with these miniseries for different characters going forward and seeing what characters they'll pick. Especially because Lando, as far as we know, isn't in The Force Awakens, you know? And they did have some, you know, stuff about the comic that it takes place after he's lost the Falcon. So unfortunately, we won't see the Falcon in there, but there will be another ship involved, apparently.
I have sort of mixed feelings about these short series because, I mean, I love the Leia series right now. I hope to see that continue as a longer form. I'm less interested in Lando as a character, although I guess if we get to see Hera hit him with things, I'm there for that.
I'm all for that.
Yeah.
Very useful, Trey.
Yeah. I feel a little weird about the fact that they put their female and POC-led series in these miniseries.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah. And then there's the other side of that, which is, well, at least they gave the character a chance at all. And I don't know how I feel about that either. But on the third hand, I'm not super interested in Lando. I'm not super interested in Smugglers. So I'm curious to see. I will be waiting for the reviews for this one, but I'm not sort of chomping at the bit the way I was for Leia.
See, I like Smugglers, but I'm just not that interested in Lando.
I'm interested in Lando, but not as a smuggler. I think Lando is better as a businessman and, you know, always trying to get a bunch of money because, you know.
That's Lando.
Yeah, yep. That is Lando. The other news out of the panel was that the Shattered Empire creative team, which we already knew was going to be written by Greg Rucka, thanks catalogs, and the art by Marco Cicchetto. So I know a lot of people like Greg Rucka, so that's good news.
And I don't have the greatest knowledge of comic artists, but people seem very excited that Mark Cicchetto was announced for this one.
Yeah.
Also, if who did the cover art?
Oh, Phil Noto.
Yeah, Phil Noto can do all of them. That would be great.
Well,
he's
really
become the go-to guy lately.
Yeah, but we all know Atashi Station, my lack of enthusiasm for comics, but I will definitely be reading this comic every issue because I have to. It's set right after Endor, and I'm assuming it's going to have the big three in it because
they were emblazoned right on the cover like that.
Yeah, where I think Aftermath is going to be more of the, you know,
Witch book.
Let's all hope.
That's a good point. That's an important place where we might see a little more about what's going on with the big three.
Yeah. And then we've got the Del Rey panel, which, again, they didn't have a lot of, earth-shattering information. But they did announce that there's going to be a compilation with Tarkin and A New Dawn called Rise of the Empire. And there'll be three short stories in there. And they didn't announce at Celebration, but last week they announced on the website that the authors are going to be Melissa Scott, who's new to the Star Wars universe, John Jackson Miller, who we all know and love, and the third one will be written by Jason Fry, who we also all know and love. So Yay. That is super exciting.
And this is the first adult.
No, he wrote a story for Insider.
Did
Jason
he?
Fry. Yes,
okay.
The Blade Squadron.
That's
one,
right. That's
which
right.
I haven't read, but I've heard is really good. And I think every time I, spoke to the Del Rey people at Celebration, which was a lot. Hey, Tom, that I mentioned how much we would love to have a Jason Fry adult novel.
Almost there. Almost there.
Hopefully. I'm torn.
I'll add my vote to that.
Yeah, I'm torn because on the one hand, I want him to finish Jupiter Pirates on time, and on the second hand, I want him to write a Star Wars book.
I'm starting Jupiter Pirates soon.
It's
I'm very
so
excited.
Good.
Have it on my table.
It's so good. It's so good.
I'm so ready.
And then so the big news is that the Force Awakens novelization, why did I write that? Brian's correcting my bad wording in the show notes. But the Force Awakens novelization will be written by Alan Dean Foster.
And we have to segue into talking about the most amusing moment at any of the panels we were at.
Yes. So this happened because of the how do I get on the story group question that was during the Canon panel. So I think he said it was Shelley's idea.
Yeah, it was Shelley Shapiro's idea.
To have, instead of like just announcing and having Alan Dean Foster come out as the author, to like pretend that the presentation was over, that they were going to questions, and have him ask, can I write the novelization? And then go like, well, what are your qualifications? And, what do you know about Star Wars? And then going, oh, okay, sure, come up here. And that was super funny.
He was hidden off in the corner so no one could see him. And the instant he asked, can I write this novelization? Every blogger in the first 20 rows.
I think everyone did. But I looked over and I saw who it was. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's Alan Dean Foster.
My face was buried in my Surface because I was live tweeting the panel.
Yeah.
And I didn't see it was him, so yeah. I got really annoyed.
And but I think it was rumored beforehand that he was going to be writing this because he was at Celebration, and it made sense as far as the symmetry and bookending because he ghost wrote the Star Wars novelization. And also Splinter the Mind's Eye. I think this is like a very inoffensive choice.
And there's some really, it's a poetic choice.
Yeah. I don't think they would ever do like a Matthew Stover type novelization for this.
Not for The Force Awakens.
No. It's too prominent, you know. They want something safe, but also
something
good.
Super accessible.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure we'll get that. And also it was interesting that the Delroy folks took him into the exhibit before the show opened and were able to keep all the lights on so he could look at the props and stuff. And that's kind of neat.
So useful.
Yeah. And also news is that is coming out in ebook format on December 18th. Hardback to follow.
And no advanced copies.
No advanced copies.
Which means you're not getting spoilers from the novelization.
Nope.
There were people really mad at me when I tweeted that.
Well, I mean,
I know it's breaking with tradition, but yeah, they can't. They really can't.
Well, how many times did we say on the show that we just couldn't see them putting out a novelization a month or even a week before the movie comes out with how secretive they're being? I mean, they want everything to come out at their pace. They want people to know only what they want them to know, and they want everything else to be revealed in the movie theater. So I couldn't imagine them doing it, and I'm so glad that they're not. And I'm so glad they're not giving out arcs, because even though it hurts so much as a blogger and reviewer, there's no way I would have been able to read it beforehand, and I would have had to sign off Twitter for, you know, months.
I'm glad I don't have to make that decision or ask editorial to make that decision.
Yeah. I would feel bad for people who wrote for larger sites that
they'd be compelled to.
Yeah, or they were forced to, you know. And this announcement came out beforehand, but they talked about it during the panel that there will be a Battlefront novel. Is it Battlefront Twilight Company?
I think that was what the name was.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Battlefront Twilight Company, written by Alexander Freed. And this will take place during the original trilogy.
And I think it's also important to note, the impression we got was that this isn't a Battlefront novelization.
No, this is not a novelization of the game. I don't know much about the game, so I'm not sure if this is going to take place at one of the battles during the game. I would imagine so. But it's going to be, you know, a new own set of characters. You know, it's going to be a novel that takes place, uses the game as a setting, not a novelization like The Force Unleashed or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually excited about it. Like, the thing that bothers me about games is, like, I kind of like the stories, but I have no interest in playing them. So getting this via a book is nice.
I wonder whether we're going to start with, I mean, we saw some of the characters that are going to be in the Battlefront book in the little fiction sampler from Delroy.
Yeah.
I can see us going through the whole book with those characters, and maybe the end is one of the big battles in the game. Maybe the end is Endor, I don't know.
That would be cool.
I'm really excited for this one. I like that it's just soldiers on the ground in the same way that Rogue One is.
Yeah.
Not about Jedi. It's, so far the characters seem pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Well, if they can tap into some of those themes that made the X-Wing books great. Mm-hmm. Soldiers doing their job.
Or similar to the Republic Commando books.
Yeah.
A lot of people love those for the same reasons that they're not mm-hmm. Jedi. You know, most of the clones are.
And I think we have to applaud Delroy for they're telling a bunch of different types of stories.
Yeah.
Right now, there's more diversity in their fiction than there's been in a long time, and that's really cool.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to seeing what else happens as far as, like, I mean, Battlefront is a lot of synergy as far as the game and the book. And we all remember, you know, Shadows of the Empire had all of that synergy with, there was a book, there was a game, there was a soundtrack, there was merchandise. It was basically practice for the prequels. And it'd be really interesting to see what comes out of The Force Awakens, you know.
When I initially saw the Twilight Company subhead, I thought, does that mean that there are going to be more Battlefront books? And I have no idea, but that seems like a natural place to make a little series.
Yeah.
Other thing about... go ahead.
No, go ahead.
the other thing about this one was that this is Alexander Freed's first novel. It's mm-hmm. not his first Star Wars story by far. It's not his first fiction by far, but it is his first prose novel.
Yeah.
And that's, from what I read in the excerpt, he did quite well, but that's interesting.
Yeah. Did Aaron Alston have a published novel before he got Wraith Squadron?
I'm not sure. He might have, but I mean, he was definitely mostly known for
his RPG yeah. work.
I don't think he was, if he had, that he had written nearly as much as Mike Stackpole. But I mean, I know that they're doing a lot of the short stories. They're using a lot of, you know, authors new to Star Wars to kind of try them out, and there's going to be a lot more short fiction in The Insider. So I like that, you know.
They're using the shorts as a proving ground, which yeah. is awesome.
I mean, it used to be pretty much like, you know, if you want to write Star Wars, you write a bunch of books, and then maybe one day you'll get asked to write a Star Wars book. Now it seems like if you're a published author and you want to write Star Wars and you make it known and they like your work and you prove that you're a good writer, they might say, hey, you want to write a short story? And if you do a good job, then they'll be like, hey, you want to write a book?
It seems like...
Unless you're Chuck Wendig, and then you get aftermath.
Chuck Wendig lives a charmed life. But yeah, it seems like it's easier for a bunch of different authors to get into writing Star Wars now. And that's cool. A lot of different perspectives, a lot of different writing styles, all getting a chance to show that they can be involved with the Star Wars universe, mm-hmm. which makes for a richer...
Yeah.
Fiction land for
us. I mean,
us.
As much as I love, you know, Tim Zahn and John Jackson Miller and, like, authors who are very prolific and have a long history, you know, I want them to keep writing Star Wars, but I also want new people as well, you know. Because I feel like when you have the same people writing all the time, it can get a little stagnant. Even the authors we like, you know, so.
Yeah. And changing the writing styles always makes things interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's been... See, I want to say I know more about this than I do. I know Star Wars authors have come from comics and have come from game modules all along. I can't think of another example like Chuck Wendig that I know of where the author asked, basically. But
yeah.
they've always kind of come from all over the place, in my experience.
Yeah. I know that, I know Jen Heddle tweeted something about, like, if there are any female Star Wars authors who want to write, you know, female authors who want to write Star Wars, let me know, because mm-hmm. the male authors do it all the time.
And then Gail Simone went, ooh, me, and Jen replied, let's talk, and then now we're all like, what happened? Someone give Gail a book!
Yeah.
Let Gail do a comic!
Yes, please.
Yeah. So that was pretty much all the news. Then we just wanted to mention that after the Delray panel, they had a tribute to Aaron Alston, which was moderated by Brian Young and had Shelley Shapiro from Delray and Christy Golden. And Aaron had written the Fate of the Jedi series with Christy. And they all told stories about Aaron, and then the audience... was able to tell their stories as well. And that was a really, really good panel. We have audio of it on our website and or on the feed if you want to take a look at it. You know, I always get worried going to these types of things. Is it going to be too sad? Is everyone going to cry?
The one we went to at Dragon Con was really depressing.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I problem.
But this one, it seemed to be maybe because more time has passed that, you know, there were a lot of, you know, sad moments, but it seemed like, you know, everyone was there to tell stories about Aaron and, you know, to say like, you know, there was a lot of laughter, which I think he would have appreciated. And, you know, Christy Golden had a really nice comment about how, you know, as long as you keep reading books, you know, or like that characters only live once people read them. And as long as you keep reading Aaron's books, these characters will never die and he'll live on as well, which is really, really sweet sentiment. And, you know, then they were giving out copies of Mercy Kill at the Delray book booth that day, which was really cool because it's a fantastic book. You can read it without any sort of backstory knowledge of you know, Rogue Squadron or Race Squadron or so if you haven't read any of Aaron's books, I would say please go read Mercy Kill or start a Starfighter's Vadimar. That's another one you can jump right into. But yeah, it was, I'm really glad they had that panel. It was nice seeing all the people in Aloha shirts all day long and wanting, coming to the booth to get Mercy Kill. So, and go ahead.
I saw those shirts all weekend. There yeah. were people that, it was nice to see a little bit of color.
Yeah. I loved, Brian Young's story about, this was at Origins, right?
Yeah, Origins Game Fair.
So Origins Game Fair was like Tim, Mike Stackpole, and Aaron Olsen were, you know, big staples at Origins. And a lot of the, you know, the folks from Club Jade would go there as well and, you know, have their, you know, gatherings and parties and stuff. And they had a, you know, they had tributes to Aaron at Origins. And that was like the first one that they kind of did after he passed away. And so they were wearing the Hawaiian shirts, and every time someone would come up for a photograph, Tim would take his shirt off, fold it nicely, put it on the table, and then take the picture because he didn't want the pictures taken without his, you know, trademark black shirt and pants. Which is hilarious. And I'm kind of sure Aaron Olsen was looking at that and just laughing his butt off.
He probably had a good pun to go with it.
He did. So, I believe that wraps it up as far as the publishing parts of it.
That does. I would say stay tuned for San Diego Comic-Con. I'm pretty sure Delray's there, and they may have some more to say then.
Yeah.
If not there, New York Comic Con might be another spot where they have some announcements.
Yeah, I remember the Kenobi novel was announced at New York Comic Con, and that was something no one was planning on, and look at how good that turned out. Mm-hmm.
Still one of my favorite Star Wars novels.
Yeah, I was like, oh, a Kenobi novel? That's cool. And then I read it, and I was like, I need more of this in my life.
All right, well, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. Megan, thank you for coming on. Before we let you go, though, where can we find you online again?
Sure. Again, thank you, guys. My Twitter handle is @blogfulofwords. My main site is blogfulofwords.blogspot.com. You can find me on the HoloNet Digest on Sabudu. You can find me on Den of Geek. If you just do a search for my name, it's probably the easiest way. But Blog Full of Words collects everything.
Awesome. And on that note, Nancy, what are we recording next this week?
We have two more wrap-ups from Celebration. Friday, we're having Jonah Marie Macias come on to talk about the Clone War stuff, the Bad Batch panel, as well as like the Untold Clone War stuff. And that'll be really interesting because Brian and I were not at any of those. So, and I was trying to think of who to ask to come on for that. And I was like, well, Jonah is a pretty huge Clone Wars fan. So I'm pretty sure we can just turn the microphone over to her and have her talk.
Our first question will be, have you recovered from your coma suffered while at the Rebels trailer premiere. Yeah.
And then Monday, we'll be talking to our friend Savannah Kiefer all about just Celebration in general, because we haven't really done a recap of our time at Celebration. And we wanted Savannah on because she got engaged at the Her Universe fashion show on Friday morning, and it was adorable, so we had to get her on to talk all about it.
So we'll also wrap in a little segment we're calling So You're Planning a Star Wars Wedding.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
All right, we'll go ahead and wrap up the show there. This episode of Tosche Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. Check out the links to help keep the lights on. On Twitter, you can find us with the handles Tosche_Station. That's the official show account. You can find Nancy with Nancy Pants. That's Nancy with an I. You can find me with Lane Winry, LaneWinree. On Facebook, we're the Tosche Station Network, and we are available on the iTunes Store and on Stitcher. If you like what you hear, please do leave a review. It helps us grow the show. You can find our columns and news at Tosche.station.net. Thanks for listening to another episode. We will see you all again on Friday.
Bye.
So long. This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of ToscheStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tosche Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.